Please stand as we read our scripture reading on Luke chapter 8, 43 to 48. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physical physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." May this scripture be a blessing to all. Thank you. Amen. You all sit.
It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you for having me one more time. It's been actually more than a year since I've been here in this capacity, but it's good to be here nonetheless. And to those online, we like to say welcome, and may God bless us as we listen to the droppings of his words. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now to open your words, touch these quivering lips, and may my heart be open to the promptings of your Holy Spirit, and may we all hear the message coming directly from your throne room. Cleanse me as I represent you in this capacity, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In an article entitled Desperate Hope, psychologist Dr. Susie Ferrarello answered the question, "What does desperation taste like?" And her response is, "To me, desperation tastes like overwhelming salty water. When I meet with a client who feels desperate, I see someone who seems to be drowning alone in the midst of an angry ocean. Yet, if I focus long enough from the tranquility of my chair, I can clearly see that it is not water but solid earth that is underneath my client's feet. And it's not aloneness but disconnection that is overwhelming her. Desperation seemed to bring us closer to near-death experience even when we are still alive and well." So by definition, the word desperation is a state of hopelessness, when a situation seemed to have no viable solution, when the future offers no relief to our current problems. When we are hopeless, we try anything to make the situation better. We do whatever it takes to achieve results that will make life easier to bear. It is having such an urgent need or desire that must be resolved in order to make life worth living. It is in this situation, situations such as these, that we learn to have desperate faith, or we learn the value of desperate faith. And that's the title of the message this morning. The value of desperate faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." And what is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1 describes that, or defines that for us. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the assurance that things hoped for will happen." It is treating things that are not seen as though they actually exist. Now, that's a giant step for us. Because as human beings, we like to see things right in front of our eyes before we believe. Desperate faith is taking the next step even when you cannot see the entire staircase. Desperate faith causes us to act on what we haven't experienced yet. To believe promises in the Bible that have not yet been fulfilled. And to trust God even when our situations cause us to feel hopeless. That's desperate faith. So we look at the situation and a familiar story of this lady with an issue of blood. Verse 43 says, a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed by any of them. To be sick for 12 years, that's a long time. It must feel like an eternity for her. If I'm sick for 1 minute, it feels like an eternity. Let alone being sick for 12 years. And I can imagine the sickness did not just affect her physically. It must have affected her mentally as well. Because her sickness caused her to be restricted in her own society. She couldn't go to church. She couldn't go among people because they knew of her situation and they wanted not to have anything to do with her. So she must have been emotionally destroyed. She was financially destitute because funds ran out. You talk about $250-some-odd that you owed your physicians. Imagine this lady having no money to even pay her copay. She spent all her monies on doctors who seemed to take her for a ride. They cleaned out her bank account and left her penniless. But she was still sick. To be sick and broke at the same time makes for a desperate situation. And the woman was in a desperate situation. She needed a resolution to make her life worth living. A problem that lasts that long is enough to make anybody lose his or her mind. It is enough to make someone think that there is no solution and therefore resolve to live with things as they are. In other words, give up. And to further complicate her situation, women in biblical times were valued at half the value of men. They weren't allowed to make decisions without the blessing of a male in the family. They weren't allowed to work outside the home. They were to be quiet in the synagogue. So this woman had the deck stacked against her. We all at times experience desperate situations. Jesus admonished us that in this world we will have tribulation. In this life we deal with trials of sickness, unmentionable tragedies, natural disasters, and a whole range of situations that cause us to even lose our minds. Sometimes it seems there's no end to suffering. For some of us, it seems our situation persists for more than 12 years. Some of them seem to last even a lifetime. Not only that, but we are plagued by the disease of sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have made this, or we have had this malady, not just for 12 years, but for our entire lifetime. So we are in a desperate situation. Just like this woman's sickness, sin has affected all aspects of our lives. And just like this woman, we need special intervention. So we look at this woman. She came behind Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, her blood stopped flowing. Her desperate situation gave her the courage to do what she should have been scared to do. It gave her the courage to act on her belief despite the possibility of danger to herself. To show strength in the face of grief or pain, this woman had to get beyond her situation and see that there is hope. For many of us, it's scary to live in a courageous lifestyle or courageous life and to go against the grains of society. We are timid to declare that we are children of the Most High. And that we live by the Word of God. So not only do we have problems in this life, but we also have a situation where we have to stand up against the grain of society. Therefore, we need courage. Courage that only God can give. Then she heard of someone coming through her neighborhood, someone who was healing all manner of diseases, all manner of sicknesses, and this gave her hope. In other words, she saw this as her last hope, the last possibility that she was going to be healed. See, no matter how long we've been locked in our desperate situation or our sinful habits, there is still hope for victory because there is someone who is able to give us the victory, and he is passing our way. God wants to give us every opportunity to get the victory over our problems and over the sins in our lives. And just as this woman was determined to be healed, we must be determined to get the victory over sin, but it takes someone outside of ourselves to make it happen. It takes Jesus. So where did that come from? It came from faith. Faith in the idea that someone was passing her way. We must all have faith because without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please him. But faith works best when we have a clear understanding of God's expressed will. In other words, faith does not exist in a vacuum. I can't have faith that that door is going to be open if I don't know if it's locked or not. There must be a concept on which we based our faith. And that's why Paul in Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I don't know what God's word says, I can't have faith. The woman was based her faith on the word that Jesus can heal, and that he would be passing her way. She clung to that thought, that if he heals somebody else, then he can heal me. And he's coming my way. When we all know the will of God, we know it because we've studied his words and his words. In his words, we know how he has led in the past and how he will continue to lead in the future. So that's where we hang our faith. So what are the benefits of having faith? Matthew 17 and verse 20 says, Jesus replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Faith in God gives us courage. You see, the mountain itself is not the issue. It's your faith that God can do whatever God says he will do. So faith gives us courage. Faith gives us courage to do what scares us. To act out on our belief despite of danger. And to show strength in the face of grief or pain. In other words, when the situation seems insurmountable, your faith in God can rise above the situation. Number two, faith gives us strength. Faith gives you strength and the inner resolve to withstand turmoil. In other words, you go through some stuff and you didn't know you could do it. Why? Because you trust God and God saw you through situations. Number three, faith in God gives or provides rather stability. In other words, it allows us to experience stability in the face of instability. When life seems out of control, you can claim like Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So when you're going through stuff, Even that gentleman you talked about, Brother Fred, that was in the cesspool, where did his strength and his confidence come from? In knowing who God is. We must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. See, it cannot be that you read your Bible today and you put it down for another 3 months and then you take it up again. It must be a diligent study, a diligent a digging into the Word of God so that he can implant his lifestyle in our brains. And the reality is many of us, we can't overcome, we struggle with sin in our lives because we don't have what to hold on to. Why should we seek God? We seek him because he is our provider, our only source of salvation. And Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He didn't stop there. He says, "I will give you rest." The world can't give us rest. The job we have, as much as we need it, can't give us rest. The house we have, as much as we need it, it cannot give us rest. The rest that we need to make our lives on par with what God wants it to be comes from God himself. And we know that he will do what he says because it's best for us. He that comes to God, he will in no wise cast out. God will always respond in the affirmative when we seek a closer walk with him. He will not say no. So to seek God for any other reason than to have a better relationship with him is for the wrong reason. All the blessings we receive come from God. All the blessings that come from God is secondary to having a right relationship with him. So if I seek God for just to get a good job so I can have money to go flaunt, that's wrong. That's a secondary. I must be willing to have a relationship with God and then say, "Lord, I'm open to what you have to give to me." He will never withhold any good things from his children. We must believe that only God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. He may work through human agencies because he gives us jobs through our employers. He works through human agencies because we have to go and buy the car from the dealer or what have you. But God works through those things so that he gets the glory. And here's one thing that I've come to accept, and I'm still working it through. That everything I possess, it is only a stepping stone to get closer to God. What do I mean? God gives us all the things that we need, not so that we can flaunt our own will and our own strengths, but so that we can get closer to him and to show that he is in charge. But the problem is when God gives us what he gives us, many of us, we walk the other way. Many of us, we show that it's me. When Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of Babylon, and he looked and said, "Isn't this great Babylon that I have built?" The result was that he went out in the wilderness for 7 years until he recognized who gave him what he had. The second thing is that we must want it badly. You see, the woman wanted healing more than anything else in this world. 12 years, that's a long time. She wanted it so badly that she was willing to go to any lengths to receive it. We must want to be healed of the sickness of sin more than we want to have anything in this world. We must want a connection with Jesus more than we want anything in this world. So if I have to walk on the street and beg, but it affords me a relationship with Jesus, that's what I must want. Because it brings me closer to Jesus. But many of us, we want it the other way. Give me the nice things, and then I will come and serve you, God. That's the wrong equation, if you will. So we must want it badly enough to have a relationship with God so that everything else seems secondary. Even more importantly, we must want to get rid of the sins in our lives. She knew her condition was dire. Just as we must see that the sins in our lives is causing our ruin, we must see that we cannot depend on any other entity, that we need a Savior, and that we fall on our knees at the foot of the cross and surrender our will to God. We cannot enter heaven with any blemish of character, and so we must have desperate faith to get rid of the sins in our lives. We must treat it with such urgency that we never stop until we say, Lord, I am falling at your feet. Cleanse me from all my sins, and I will not let you go until you bless me. Just like Joseph. So the woman heard that the healer was passing by her way, and she was bent on making it work for her. After all, what does she have to lose? She was desperate to be healed. She had exhausted all options. Everything she tried failed, but God. But with God, we are never out of options. See, things may feel desperate for us. I'm talking about the temporal things here. But when we seek God, we are never out of options. Because we allow Him to take charge of the situation. The other thing I like was that this situation did not take Jesus by surprise. In fact, Ellen White said Jesus walked that way so that she could have access to Him. It is just like the plan of salvation. Sin did not take God by surprise. In fact, He said that the plan of salvation was in place before the world, the foundation of the worlds were laid. He had the plan in place before sin came. So we know that God is never taken by surprise in anything that we go through. And sometimes we act as if God is surprised when we have to pay the bill. We act as if God is surprised when that child is wayward. He knows the situation before it occurs. And we must trust that He is going to do what is necessary so that you and I can be in good relationship with Him. I always wonder why the doctors couldn't heal her. But I'm not wondering because I don't know. God could have used the doctors of her days or her day to heal her. But maybe the doctors didn't have the expertise. And of course, you know, medicine is, you know, what it is, medicine is today. It was not the same back then. I would think it was more rudimentary than the expertise we have today. But here is my response to that, or the Bible's response to that. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, or rather they that labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. No matter how we try, if God is not in it, then we are not going to win it. No matter how much the doctors treat an illness, it is God who heals. God gives ability for us to perform certain tasks, but the ultimate argument for success goes to God. So no matter how good I think I am, without God I am nothing. No matter what the doctors tried, it proved that they needed God in order to affect the healing. But sometimes God allowed the point to, or allow us to go to the point of desperation in order to get our attention. Sometimes God allows us to go to the point of death for us to acknowledge that we need God. Allows us to go to the point of being paupers in order for us to realize that He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. At times it may seem that God doesn't care, but it is because we fail to reach out to Him that we go through some of the situations we go through. Because 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. What God cares about more than anything is that He has our hearts. He wants our attention. And maybe sometimes God will pull his hand and allow us to get to the point where we are so desperate that we need only him, and then our attention goes to him. So Jesus presented himself to the woman so that the woman could have access to him. Church, our God is never far away. He is Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. He is Jehovah Shammah. He's always there. He is Jehovah Jireh. He always provides. Hebrew 14 and verse 16 says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may have mercy and find grace in times of need. It didn't say just go to the job and the job will come. It says draw near to the throne of grace. Many of us want to get the job and then we go to the throne. Many of us want to get the house, then we go to the throne. No, we must go to the throne and then everything else will fall in place. The Bible says she came behind him and touched him. You see, her sickness and society's rejection of the woman had taken its toll on her. She was an outcast of society. So in humility and shamefacedness, she figured that her best chance was to sneak a touch. That's faith. All I've got to do is just touch him. At times we may feel that we are not worthy to come to God. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come boldly before the throne of grace, and that you may find mercy and grace in time of need. Our faith should be of such that I withhold nothing from God. Why? Because he's always there. He's never too far away. The Bible didn't say, but I'm thinking that while she was while she was pushing through the crowd, that there was somebody there who was saying, go away. You are not supposed to be here. Somebody was pushing her away because she was unclean. Somebody was saying, why are you trying? Because he's not of your caliber. Have you had people in your lives that see your plight? And they say, just like Job's wife, why don't you just give up? In our attempts to find God, there will always be those who will find reason why we're not worthy to come to him. And I'm not talking about people out there. I'm talking about church people. Because sometimes church people think that they're better than you. Church people think that you're not worthy. But God is never far away from those who need him. When Jesus says, come, Jesus was saying, come out of a heart of love for humanity. He says, come unto me all that labor, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, if you're worthy. He says, come, and I will give you rest. But I like what Ellen White said, that it was not the touching of his garment that caused her to be healed. It was her faith. You see, church, it is not so much what we do that gets God's attention. It is our heart that is out of faith, desperate enough to reach out to him. It is that's where you and I must get to, that we are looking for God to bless me because I need God. Ellen White in the book Desire of Ages says, she spent all her means upon physicians and remedies only to be pronounced incurable. But her hopes revived when she heard of the cures that Jesus performed. She felt assured that if she could only go to him, she would be healed. In weakness and suffering, she came to the side where he was teaching and tried to press through the crowd, but in vain.
Again, she followed him from the house of Levi Matthew, but was still unable to reach him. She had begun to despair when she came near where he was. And when she made her way through the multitude, she just reached enough to touch him. So fearful of losing her chance of relief, she pressed forward, saying to herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be made whole. As he was passing, she reached forward and succeeded in barely touching the border of his garment. But in that moment, she knew she was healed. Church, we must know at the moment when God has placed his hand of mercy on us and heal us from the malady of sin in our lives. Why? Because our faith will never go in vain. Our faith in God will always get result, but our hearts must be in it. We must say, Lord, I don't care if you heal me. What I care is if you are a part of my life. There's a difference. Because sometimes when we're healed from the problems that we've had, we go astray and we go away from God. But if our heart is in it, we can say, Lord, I don't care what happens. I just want to have a relationship with you. And that's when we see miracles happen. Because you could still be bedridden and you're singing the songs of Zion. You could be jobless, but because you know that God is providing for you, you could walk with your head held high. So church, desperate faith achieved results. It was not in the touching of Jesus' garment to affect her healing. It was virtue that came out from Jesus. When we have a desperate faith, virtue comes out from God. And it leaves us, even when our situations may not seem to change, it leaves our heart closer attached to God. Jesus, in touching his garment, it was a mere symbolic act. It was her faith that made her whole. Her faith was strong enough to ignore and overcome all the obstacles, societal stigma, rejection by the church, the scorn of the crowd, the volume of people in the crowd, even our own fears. When our faith in God is strong, we don't care what the crowd says. When our faith in God is strong, we don't care what the circumstances says. It is what happens when we touch Jesus. And Jesus says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so church, this morning, God's promises are made upon conditions. If we do well, if we walk in truth, then we may ask what we will, and it will be done to us while we earnestly endeavor to be obedient. So we must give God our everything. And we must say to God, Lord, even if you don't heal me, we must like Job, God giveth and God taketh, but I will not curse God and die. In our hearts, we must say to the Lord, I want you in my heart. I don't care about these things. I care about my relationship with you. And just as this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment and her faith made her whole, our faith in God is what will cause our transition from this earth into the earth made new, because we have had a relationship with Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this woman left us an example that we should be so desperate to have a relationship with you that nothing can stop us. The obstacles in this life serve as only stepping stones in our path to you. May we be ready to fully surrender everything at your footstool, so that in our hearts we will say that no matter what happens, I have a relationship with Jesus. And even so, Lord, may we be ready to surrender all of this world for a relationship with you. And in the end, we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." As the song says, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. May our faith in you be so strong that no matter what happens around us, we will say we have a relationship with you, and so that your words to us will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." For we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.